and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If you will open your Bibles to Galatians, the second chapter. Galatians, the second chapter. And it's such a sad situation when a congregation cannot have elders. So let's not take our elders for granted. Let's be thankful for them. And let's thank God that this congregation is able to do that at this point. Galatians, the second chapter. Let's begin reading in verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Peter, a great man. He was one of the primary leaders in the first century church. Peter was on the inner circle of the apostles. Peter, most of the time, was the spokesperson for the apostles. Peter was such a great man that it was Jesus that said, I give you the kingdom of heaven, and he allowed him to preach the first gospel sermon there on the day of Pentecost, and so many souls responded to that gospel. It was Peter that, as we read in this same chapter, see there in verse 9, it lists when James, Cephas, which is, we know him by Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars of that congregation there in the church. It was Peter that was an elder in the church. If Peter was not an elder at this particular time, he would be an elder very soon, because when we read in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, we see that he addresses elders and he says, of which I am an elder. So as we talk today about Peter, keep in mind all the beautiful things of Peter. He is a very good man. He is a very powerful man for the work of the Lord. He has proved himself in the past as a faithful Christian. He's been baptized by the Holy Ghost. He had the ability to heal, to perform miracles. But did you notice what happened here to that great man? Brethren, great men make mistakes. This morning, I hope this will be an encouragement to all of us. And I hope we all, no matter how great or how small we are, realize that even the greatest men make mistakes. Here we see Peter in Antioch, eating with the Gentiles there, because now there was no longer a division between the Jews and the Gentiles. He's fellowshipping with them as Christ commanded. There's no problem there until a few Jews that are Christians walk into his presence. He very quickly jumps up from the table and he moves over with the Jews. Here, Paul sees what has happened. And Paul has to confront him. And we notice that in verse 12, we see that he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them which were the circumcision. Brethren, let us beware this morning that we do not allow fear to separate us from what is right. Now, this was one of our sub-points about two Sunday mornings ago. It's a sub-point again this morning. Let's make sure that fear never separates us from doing what's right. Remember Joshua. He was ready to lead an entire army or children of Israel. And the Lord was going to prepare him. And he continued to say to Joshua in the first chapter, be strong and of good courage, because I have a land planned for you. Be strong and of good courage and stay with the law. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Meditate upon it. Have it upon your lips. Carry it out. And then you remember that third point. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Brethren, if I have the law in my mind, if I have the law on my lips, and I'm prepared to put it into action, but yet fear comes into my life, fear paralyzes us. There are many across this nation that call themselves Christians that probably would be powerful teachers of the gospel, but fear has paralyzed them. There's probably neighbors of Christians all over this land that would be Christians themselves, but fear has paralyzed the Christians to invite and to instruct in the righteousness sake. There are so many of us that have abilities and talents, but yet we don't use them to our fullest because fear stops us. Here we see Peter. Now notice, a good man. A strong man in most cases. He's sitting here eating with Gentiles, which there is nothing wrong with this circumstance until fear sets into him. I'm afraid of what these Jews are going to think. Fear causes him to do something that he should not do. It's terrible that we often tell our teenagers, don't pay so much attention to what people think. Don't pay so much attention to what people say. Once you get past your teen years, it won't bother you anymore. No. I don't know how or who dreamed up such a thought as that. Brethren, it always bothers us what people think. Here, Peter was a strong, faithful Christian. Peter was an older man. It bothered what people thought. This morning, the strongest men oftentimes make mistakes. Notice what happened when that strong man made a mistake. Verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away. Anytime good men make mistakes, others will follow. More will follow good men than just the average man. But anyone has the ability and potential to pull others away from Jesus Christ. This morning we need to be careful. We need to realize that we must stay with Jesus Christ, not for our own sake, but we must stay with Jesus Christ for the sake of others. Here are others that think, since they had been preaching the gospel, since Peter and Paul had been preaching, the one thing they had been trying to destroy was that barrier between the Jew and the Gentiles. It was a huge barrier, and finally they had worked it down to where now Peter was sitting there eating with the Gentiles along with other Jewish Christians, along with Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And now Peter's one mistake starts building the wall back up again. Oh, good men make mistakes, but beware that you don't follow good men into their mistakes. You see, good men can encourage us. Good men can teach us and instruct us. But we never need to follow a good man or woman away from the teachings of Jesus Christ. Here, as Paul saw what was happening, he needed to say something. We see there in the 14th verse, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all. I'm so thankful that two things did not happen this day. I'm so thankful that Peter didn't say, as many of us would be tempted to say, wow, this is Peter. I can't say anything to Peter. Why? Peter's my close companion in Christ. I can't agree with what he did, but I can't say anything either. I just might hurt Peter's feelings. I'm so thankful that Paul gave us the example. Look down the road. Don't be so concerned with the feelings right now if it's going to harm the soul for eternity. Another thing I'm very thankful of is I'm thankful that Paul didn't turn around and say, hey, all of us Jewish friends, let's just go ahead and leave. I've got something now that I can really talk about. I've got something now that I can really write some great articles about. I got something now that I can't wait till I get back to all those other Jewish congregations and tell them to rejoice because, Oh, Peter, he's building back up the wall. We'll no longer have to associate with those Gentiles. Or all those things we've been trying to fight for, he's out teaching the false doctrine. He's trying to build back the wall. Brethren, it's a serious problem in the church. And it's a problem that affects every one of us if we read very much material at all. I could name you two preachers that had a conversation recently, and you'd probably know one or both of them. One was ready to write a man off. Oh, he believes in miraculous powers here on this earth now today. How do you know he does? Oh, it's all over the brotherhood. He believes it. So when that man left the office, the other preacher turned around, picked up the phone. Didn't know the preacher. But he called him, introduced himself and said, "I need to talk to you." Questioned him about it, and the man could not believe that was being said. He questioned further, "Do you have any idea why anyone would think that?" And this man that was the author of many books said, "The only thing I can even think of is that one chapter of my book, I was describing the beautiful birth of children and how they're a gift from God. And I stated how it seems like at times it's a miraculous gift." Brethren, before we write anybody out of the church, we better talk to them. We better stop all of this business about going behind their back and saying whether or not they're in the church or they're out of the church. We have to go to their face and confront them. Praise the Lord that we have the example here of two of the strongest men in the brotherhood looking each other in the eye and settling their differences face to face based on the Word of truth. Now those are the two things that I'm thankful that didn't happen that day. Now I am thankful that they did settle the differences on the truth. They didn't go and talk behind each other's back, and they didn't ignore the situation. They settled it on the truth. Now notice what he said. He said before them all, "If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews?" Paul, why did you say this before them all? Paul, we have the example of Aquila and Priscilla pulling Apollos aside. And it worked. And it seemed very appropriate that they did not correct him in front of everyone and embarrass him, because they might not have reached him. So Paul, I can't understand why you wouldn't have more compassion on Peter, and why you wouldn't say, "Peter, next time I see you, I want to talk to you. Or Peter, can we step aside?" The situation is entirely different. Here we have Gentiles that are confused because they thought that the church was united. So here they sit all by themselves, now confused. Over here we have a group of Jews that have left, because remember, it was not just Peter that left. It was Peter along with other Jews, along with Barnabas. They all pulled away. And here we have a group that came along with Paul that must be watching and wondering what's right here. In a sense, Paul had to face the problem at that moment because there were so many in error and there were so many that surely were confused. So he looks to Peter and he says, "If you're a Jew and you say you're going to live as a Gentile, you're going to put away all the Jewish traditions and you're going to stop all of the Jewish laws that you've kept up until the time of Christ, why do you come to the Jews and now in your or to the Gentiles and in your action you say, live like a Jew?" You know, we need to be very, very careful about that type of teaching. It's exactly what Paul warned against in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse 14, when he said, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." If you're going to preach the gospel, live of the gospel. And that's exactly what Paul said to Peter in those verses. Don't preach that the Jews and Gentiles can live together and be united, and then in action, you separate yourself. Yes, great men make mistakes. And when great men make mistakes, many times men follow them. But thank the Lord that great men can be confronted by other men. This morning we need to realize that it is our duty to confront those that have went astray. And it doesn't matter how great they are. It's our duty to go to them and to talk to them with the word of truth. But notice now, as he went to them, he reminded them what we've already talked about in verse 18, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Paul, Peter, why would we build back all the things we've tried to destroy throughout the last few years? And then here is his final plea. Very powerful last three verses. "For I, through the law, am dead to the law." Now this is Paul still talking to Peter. "That I might live unto God." It's like a plea. Remember, Peter, we're no longer under that old law. Peter, here's what we are under. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know, as you look at this verse in context, it brings on an interesting thought. Really, what we might can interpret Paul to be saying to Peter is, if I didn't have Christ in me, I might have these same feelings for these Gentiles. But I crucified the part of myself that says, I want to be prejudiced. And I put Christ into my life, and Christ is not prejudiced against anyone. He says, that's why I follow the way of Christ instead of the ways of the old law. And then he closes with a point that, if we imagine it in our mind, it's an awesome point. "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Can you imagine going up to the cross of Christ, and in His pain and in His suffering and in His bleeding, looking up and saying to Him, "It doesn't matter. You died for my sins, but it doesn't matter. You shouldn't have done it. It means nothing to me. I don't need your grace. I'm just going to obey the law so perfectly that I will obey my way into heaven." That's what Paul reminded Peter of. "Peter, you're a great man, but great men make mistakes. Great men need the grace of God." This morning, has Satan tricked us into believing that we're so obedient that we don't need the grace of God? We're not. We're not that obedient. All sin falls short of the glory of God. We all need the grace of God to wash away the sins that we've committed. This morning, you may be the type of person in this congregation that someone might say that's a pillar at East Gaston Church of Christ. You may be the man or the woman that, if someone listed who they thought was the most faithful member at East Gaston, you might be on that list. But I ask everyone here this morning, think about the fact even great people make mistakes. And I challenge us all to commit to ourselves and to our God this day. We'll correct our mistakes, and we'll help those, no matter who they are, to correct their mistakes. And that we'll never forget we need the grace of God. This morning, do you have the grace of God active in your life? Have you obeyed His plan of salvation? The plan where we must believe and obey by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, turning away from the sins of the past, and being baptized to wash those sins away. If you've done that, have you remained faithful? As we talked in Bible class, the gate is narrow. There's certain things that will not go through that gate this morning. Let's make sure that the grace of God is washing away the sins that we've committed so we can go through the gate. If you need to respond, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.